This is Sunday morning, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, all to all mothers. May 12th, 2019. You know, the truth of the matter is, every person on the face of this planet is walking by faith. Because that's the way God's made us to walk. We can't walk by any other way. But, there's a renegade spirit in the earth that pushes a different narrative, and he's trying to get us to believe his narrative over God's. What God has done is already set. He set down. He completed his work. He set down. And so we're just doing what we naturally do, but so many people don't realize they're just doing it in the negative. So you can't really say, I don't have any faith, because, you know, it says God has given to every man the measure of faith. It didn't say every born-again believer. It just said every man the measure of faith. And so that tells me that a person that's not born again can also walk by faith, because they're getting all the time what the negativity that they are under and what they're, the narrative they believe, they're getting it. Is that faith or is it not? We're made in the image of God, period. We walk by faith, period. Negative, positive. And it's all based on what narrative you will believe. This is God's narrative, his will. Satan has an agenda to undermine God's will with a negative gospel, so to speak, his unholy, ungodly news. So the title today is called Back to the Garden. I'm excited where the Lord's taking us. I think things are starting to, we're starting to get it and see some things. God wants us to walk in full authority, take dominion. And he's allowed things to come in our lives, situations and circumstances we don't like, but it's not because he's mean. It's not because we've done something wrong. It's because we said, Lord, we want to be all that you want us to be. We want to be in your army, and we want to be on the front lines doing, you know, walking by faith. So what has he done? He's allowed things to come. These are training maneuvers. He's allowed these things to come. Things that we hate, things that we don't want, to see what we're going to do about it. Are you going to whine about it? Or are you going to stand up and say, no, I won't allow this? How's he going to know what we're made of? That's why Peter said, don't think it's strange, the fiery trial, which is to try your faith. That's how Jesus did it. You're partakers of Christ's sufferings. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. He learned to follow God totally and not move out independent. See, this is our problem. This is everyone's problem. Moving out independent of God is where everyone's problem lies. Bottom line. And God says, I won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That is just a law on the earth. And so when we follow him, he'll keep us from operating in that realm of sin and death. We'll get to where, when we follow him totally, we will walk in abundant life, and that life more abundantly. Okay, let's look at a few scriptures. Okay, Genesis 1. We can't go back to the garden without going to Genesis 1. One thing about God, he has an order. And his, in heaven, there is no chaos, there is no devil, there is no, he kicked out the bum out. People say, well, no, he's still before God, accusing the brethren. No, he's not. Revelation says he's been kicked out. So God kicked the bum out. When he rebelled against God, went against God's word, he kicked him out. And all the third of the angels went with him that rebelled that he convinced to rebel against God. So he kicked them out, said, you can't come here, you can't live here. When we are in our heavenly domain, seated with him in heavenly places, the devil has no place there. When Jesus comes to the earth, it says every authority and every rule, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15, I think, he is going to hand it all over to whatever's, when he comes, whatever he sees that we have not done, he is going to take authority over it, and then he's going to hand it to his Father, he says. The last enemy to be put under his feet will be death. And that's really our only enemy, you could say, that hasn't been totally vindicated and taken care of. Man still dies. If he lives out his lifespan and the Lord doesn't come, we'll all go that way. Unless we walk in such a high realm, we may be like Enoch, take our own private rapture by faith. I don't know. What difference does it make? Death is just stepping out of this body anyway. So God keeps order in heaven. That's why Jesus said, pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That means the devil is kicked out of everything. He is under our feet. He's not a problem to anybody. I'd like to be able to say, and I do say this, like Gloria Copeland, the devil hasn't bothered me for years. Instead, I've just been battling. Can you see the difference? Mm-hmm. Now, the truth be known, maybe she has had some problems, but she's not going to voice it. It's like Brother Hagin said, I hadn't been sick since 1943, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's going, what? Do you even live on the same planet? How could that possibly be with the hell I'm going through? He was speaking by faith. I go days, weeks, months, years, I never even know I have a body. What does that do? That builds something in you, a resistance. Going around, I just missed it, and I'm a failure, and I've just battled all week. Bless God, you need to pray this off of me. That kind of crap is crap. And it doesn't do anything but give glory to the enemy, and he is lording it over you. If we're seated with him in heavenly places, then there's no place for him there, right? Okay. All right, Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. This also gives reference, cross-references Colossians 3. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. I like what the Amplified puts here. Using all its vast resources in the service of God, man. So everything we need to do what we need to do is here. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. So it hasn't, there's no difference. When Jesus came and as the last Adam, he came and did what Adam failed to do. This is in place. And people say, well, I wish I could have been there, you know, in the days of Adam and Eve, how great it would have been. We are. God told us what to do. You're made in my likeness. Act like I act. All right, he gave us a commission. Matthew 28, Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You shall lay hands on sick, they shall recover. You'll cast out demons. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. Isn't that what Jesus did? When Jesus came, he went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He had that commission. He came from the garden, and he was doing God's will in the earth. It was good. Everything he did was good. See, God made the garden, and he said everything is good. And then he sat down. He rested. So he hadn't changed. It's the same. It has not gone anywhere else. We have the same commission that Jesus had. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is the key. Not being conformed to the world, the rebellion of Satan. Satan is in rebellion. He's still in rebellion to God. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will, five times. His narrative is to get to that throne, and he's convinced the Satanists of today that that's exactly what they're going to do, and they're just as defiant at him. Well, they'll go to the pit with him. So nothing's any different than from the beginning. He's still doing the same thing. Hath God said? Hath God said? Hath God said? Yes, God has said. It is written, was what Jesus would say. It is written, it is written, it is written. And we have to do the same thing. If he did it, we have to do it. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy. The reason we have such a problem today is Satan's rebellion has grown because he's recruited men that have turned a deaf ear to God's word. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:24. Okay. Let's read 23. But refuse. Shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting, and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient, forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness, in the hope that God may grant that they may repent and come to know the truth, that they may, will pursue and recognize and become accurately acquainted with it and acknowledge it, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him henceforth to do his will. So right here, this is where we are. Whether you're a minister or not, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Not arguing with people, but looking for a way to introduce the gospel and bring, probably for some people, it'll be their last opportunity. They may not live another day. We don't know why God sends certain people across our paths. We don't know, but it doesn't make any difference. We're supposed to be instant in season, out of season, and our hearts are to be, what can I do to help this person, interject God to them, and letting the Holy Spirit lead us and show us how to do that? Isn't that what infiltration is? See, the sad thing about it, the enemy has done this underneath our feet. And we've not seen anything, and we've been like led like lambs to the slaughter. So he's taken what God told us to do, and he's tried to conquer the whole earth with it, and I don't want to give him too much credit, but you know what I'm talking about. We see what's happening and what is going on in the world. Thank God that the Lord raised up Donald Trump, anointed to go in and clean out the swamp, clean out the mess, and I believe he's going to do it in other countries too. I believe he's raising up leaders that will do that very thing. Okay, what happens when we get away from God's word? We got a world out of order. I watched something yesterday after I had to stop it, and I just wept. It was happened back in April. There was a peaceful protester in front of a Planned Parenthood, a conservative, I guess a Christian protester. And he had put some signs up of what it looks like what they do to babies. And she came up to him and said, did you do this? He said, yeah. She attacked him, hit him four times in the face. He's bleeding. And they just showed different people across the country that are doing peaceful protesting in front of Planned Parenthood or just quietly praying, and how people, they got it on film, people harassing them, coming up and verbally attacking them. I mean, one lady was an older lady. They knocked her down. She handed a little girl come out of a Planned Parenthood a card and said, "Honey, if you need somebody to pray for you, that number's on there, call." And she attacked that woman, knocked her down, broke her leg, sent her to the hospital. You know, just these kind of things. And I just wept. I said, "Lord, it's our fault. We've let our country go to this pit, to where they think this is okay." And it appears nothing's ever, well, I think that girl did get arrested and assault charges filed on her. But this has been going on since before President Trump got elected. The Antifa movement, and they put on their black hoods and they come and they just have their clubs and they just start hitting people, especially if they got a MAGA hat on or something like that. Hit them, beat them up. Don't tell me that there's not persecution going on in this country. There is. There's a lot of people been hurt and killed because they were at a Trump rally and people come and threw rotten eggs on them. Just stuff like, how did we get here? People listening to the wrong narrative, that's how. Satan and his voice. People listening to his voice. Generations being raised up and the Word of God not taken seriously and the church dropping the ball. It's not those sinners that are going to be held accountable for this. It's the church that the Lord's going to say, "Why didn't you do what I told you to do?" And this is my prayer. It's not to run people off, but I'm thinking, where have you been? How can you sit so blinded as if nothing's going on, business as usual, when this kind of stuff is going on? How can you? I don't understand it. I'm thinking, it's a travesty. I feel sorry for those that have been in the forefront for 20, 30 years, seeing what's coming, seeing it, been on the wall screaming as loud as they can scream and nobody listen. Makes me want to call and apologize to them because we just didn't realize, we just didn't know. But we have come to a place in our culture that, are they going to believe it when they come and escort them off like they did in Germany? I mean, when are they going to finally wake up and say, "Well, tell me something now, tell me something now. How can you get me out of this?" Well, sorry, too late. See, God has given us time to do something about it. Now, our assignment is probably going to be more speaking to things in divine appointments, one-on-one. But wasn't that how they did it? Disciples? They went about one-on-one, talking to people, getting people healed. Okay, Romans 1. We live in Romans chapter 1. Okay, this is verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Really? I said, "Lord, help me not to be afraid." A Muslim woman with her little what's-he-do on, checked me out this week. And I didn't have anything to say to her, but I was checking myself, what should I do here? "Lord, help me not to be afraid. Help me to move with you. Because, you know, of all people, they may be zealous in their religion, but I tell you, they're going to hell. And if we don't tell them, who will?" So, you know, we've got to be checking all the time. If he doesn't say do anything, then we shouldn't do anything because it should be led. Because sometimes you can do more harm than good just by what you think in your flesh. "Well, I better do that." "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance, for eternal death." See, well, that's what I mean when we come across these people. It could be life and death to them. Well, it will be eventually, But at that moment, you know, you don't know. You may never see them again. To everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Our faith is for us not to use it for ourselves. We should be already, yeah, we know that's true. We don't need to use it for ourselves. We need to be using it out in the marketplace. Why has he given us this faith? So we can help others. For God's wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness because God has shown it to them. These people are crazy. Just if you watch anything where you see some of these people going off, they are absolute crazy. They just yell and scream and it's actually like they really do have a demon in them, and a demon is acting out inside of them. I've never seen anything. And foul language. It's like the F word's the only word they know. For ever since the creation of the world, his visible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made. So men are without excuse. All this tranny crapola and all this stuff. God says they have no excuse because nature itself reveals God's plan and God's order. Because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks, but instead they became futile and godless in their thinking. And their senseless minds were darkened, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And by them the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God was exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal men and birds and beasts and reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in their lust of their hearts to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Now you see why we're to be led to bring the gospel. Because they've believed a lie. God will give us opportunities to share the truth with people. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. And the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze with lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities and inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was fitting retribution. And so since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent but loathsome, until they were filled with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping and covetous greed and malice, full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, treachery, ill will, and cruel ways, secret backbiters and gossipers, slanderers and hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents, without understanding, conscienceless and faithless, heartless and loveless, merciless. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. So we see how a person, when they buy into Satan's lie, how their whole everything, that's why these people act the way they do. Their whole nature becomes like the one they serve, Satan, and his as putrid as you can get. We live in a world that has departed from God's order. Whose fault is it? Whose place is it to get it back in order? Jesus is the head. We are his body. See, when he comes, he's going to break all that authority. It's like he's going to just break it off and hand that authority over to the Father. That's what he wants us to do as he speaks to us and shows us what to do, like he told me to change the law concerning a certain matter. I think we need, the Lord's trying to, he's been talking to us about crutches and taking crutches away. In other words, quit leaning so much on this society and this way of doing things and quit thinking, well, Lord, you want me to go there, go there, go there, go there. He says, no, I want you to change things or you don't have to go there. Yeah. Not that he'll never tell us to go there, but you know what I'm saying. Okay. All right, when he comes, he will hand it all back over to God. I've quoted that two or three times, so we'll just look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 24, not verse 15. After that comes the end, when he delivers over the kingdom to God the Father. After rendering inoperative and abolishing every rule. What is he going to do? He's going to speak with the sword of his mouth, overcome the armies of the Antichrist. He's going to abolish every rule and every authority and power with his mouth. For Christ must be king and reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. How is Christ reigning today? How's Christ reigning today? We are. Where's body? The last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. That means it's under our feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who does the subjecting of all things to him. Whoever, when everything is subjected to him, when the Son himself will also subject himself to the Father, who put all things under him so that God may be all in all, be everything to everyone, supreme, the indwelling, controlling factor of life. I don't think we're realizing that what God is trying to take us, the place he's trying to take us, is what we're going to do when he's here. Reigning in life as kings, ruling and reigning in his name, through his name. What we're doing now is what we're going to be doing then. Okay, under our feet, under his feet, under God's feet. Page one. Okay, Lord, this is our commission. This is what we are being trained to do. Reign in life as kings. Who's the King of Kings? Jesus. When he comes, he's going to overthrow the Antichrist system with the words of his mouth like a sword, it says. The sword of the Spirit. Well, Satan wants to distract us away from God's will. How does he do it? Symptoms. Symptoms. All right, Hebrews 12. Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, or we shouldn't be. Like Peter, don't be amazed. Don't be amazed, like you're shocked that you're going to have to use those faith muscles, stand, believe. The New Testament's full of it. How in the world can a church be so passive? They must not read their Bible. Because this whole book is about that. All of it. Hebrews 12. Therefore then, verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance and that sin which so readily clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith and is also its finisher. He, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. There it is. Fainting in your mind. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may have prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So, if you don't faint in your mind, there's no inroad into you. You have not yet struggled and fought antagonizingly against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your blood. And have you forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by Him. See, we're all in training. We're being trained right now. And the Lord lets us go through something, and sometimes we botch it up, and so He comes back and He corrects us. He disciplines us. He talks to us about it. This is where you failed. The next time, you just do this, and you won't go there again. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom He loves, and He punishes even scourges every son whom He accepts and welcomes to His heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not train and correct and discipline? Now if you're exempt from correction and left without discipline in which all share, then you are illegitimate offspring and not true sons. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we yielded and respected them for training us. Now we understand that in the natural, but when it comes to the Lord, they think if we mess up or whatever, we boo-hoo and under the juniper tree for a week. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the Father of spirits and so live? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But His disciplines us for our certain good, that we may become sharers in His own holiness. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Get this picture. The things that come against you. The day that you walk and you're not affected, probably be the day you don't have it anymore. So you see why you're going through it and going through it and going through it and going through it. Each time you've built up your resistance and you're doing it better every time. I told you these are training exercises. Not because, well, I said something ugly yesterday. Always thinking I must have done something wrong. No, you're doing something right. Haven't you submitted to His training? You're in His army? So then, it says, brace up and reinvigorate and set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering knees. He's couldn't quit getting over there and camping out for weeks at a time because you missed it. Get it under the blood. Just get it. Get past it. You missed it. Okay, I missed it. Hit me, you know, kick me, whatever. But let's get on with it. And cut through and make firm and plain and smooth paths for your feet, so that the lame and halting may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. Quit letting the devil fool you in the same old thing over and over and over. This is about learning to walk independent of circumstances, just as kind of the service began. You're either walking by faith or you're walking by your flesh. And you're either getting the fruit of the faith or the fruit of the flesh. The whole world's under that flesh. We see it. They're dying. They're perishing. They're not winning in life. They're losing. But those that walk by faith are getting stronger. The Lord has been saying to us, no more crutches. Seems everywhere I went this week, there were screaming children. Everywhere I went this week. I'm not talking just, I'm talking all over the store. And I seemed to be every aisle I turned down in different places I went, screaming, children just, and the mother's just walking along and they're just, and I'm thinking, it's even affecting our children. These are these crazy people I'm talking about that are just have let Satan come in and just take them over. And if anything, they see anything godly or anything about God or anything with Trump on it, they go ballistic and they have these screaming fits like they're insane. That's the way these children were. And I'm thinking, if that was that mother, I think I'd just drop them little hands and walk out and never come back. I'm just going... I'm thinking, this is unreal. It was so agitating. Like I'm thinking, I didn't leave the house to come do this, to hear this. I think a lot of the things and the pressure that we go through is because of what's going on in our world. We blame it on maybe different things, but the oppression. There's a civil war going on. It's in the spirit. It's between good and evil right now. Okay. We can't act badly anymore. Old habits got to go. No more unlovely behaviors. Children act badly. And these children, oh, and these were all little. They were talking 2 or 3. Just, you know how little kids are. It's like they have no restraint on their emotions. That's the way these people in the Congress are acting. This is the way these people, you see that they show, you know, different things of these people acting out. They're children. They're like, they're throwing fits. They even showed a clip of Hillary Clinton talking about the election got stolen from her. I'm going, why don't you just get over it and go home? Nobody cares about what you have to say anymore. You know, it's like, get over it. You're just like a bunch of little preschool children that just can't get over that they lost. Fair and square. I mean, it's just crazy. I'm thinking, Lord. Okay. No one wants to put up with your foul moods. Talk like a man, walk like a man. Nobody wants to put up with screaming children, whether they are adults or little children. I'm thinking, you know, in my day, I bust them butts. I'm telling you what, I'm not putting up with that. And I'm thinking, why don't y'all do that? Why can't they do that with the Congress? Unless it's a narrative that's being pushed so people can see just how crazy they are and it wakes them up. That's the only thing I can think, because I'm thinking, how can they actually get away with that? How can nothing actually be getting done about that? There has to be more to it than this. I know there's a lot more people that like a law and order and things right and orderly in our country. Okay. When you walk on unmoved, you might not have to deal with it anymore. Ephesians 6, I've read it many times to you about the armor of God, but preceding that is order. Order in the home. From the children, respecting the parents, on down, wives, husbands, wives. Then it says, in conclusion of being in order, be armed with the armor of God. Same way with this country. A country in order, we're going to be armed. We're going to be strong. Okay, effective warfare. Our warfare is not physical. It's not fighting with the fist. And, you know, when I've seen these different things where Christians, conservatives have been attacked by these lunatics, they fight with the fist. Satan's the warmonger. He's the instigator of all the wars and all the carnage that's happened in our earth over all of these years, using evil people to do so. And so he's the real instigator behind it. These people have bought the narrative and they followed the narrative, but the real culprit behind it is the devil. He's the one that wants to depopulate and kill everyone, because that's his agenda, kill, steal, and destroy. So whenever we see these people do this, we need to pray for them to be born again. We need to come against the devil, because he is the one that's pushing it. We're not ever against people, and our warfare is not physical, it's mental. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, casting down every thought. Danny and I talked about this. Well, we talked about it, but the Lord gave me some stuff about it before he ever talked to me. We were talking about how you can always associate, and I heard Brother Copeland even say that pain comes through the thought processes. You're attacked through your thought processes. You may think, well, no, but he's attacking my body, but no, it's not. He's attacking your soul. I can guarantee you sometime before there is that feeling, you've had a thought and you've acknowledged it. It got your attention. Okay. All right, I'm not going to read the story of David and Goliath. We've read it so many times. But some points of the story I want you to realize today is before David ever got there, this giant would come out and terrorize the Israelites. And then they'd run to the foxhole. They were scared. And that's what the Lord spoke this week to me. No more running for the foxhole. He wants you to stand up and fight like a man. That's why you have your armor. Fight like a man. So it took a little 17-year-old boy. David ran towards the giant, confronted the giant. But I would be willing to say that the men in that group that were running for the foxhole were the ones that ended up being David's mighty men. They had an example. They had somebody to look to. Oh, this is the way. This is the way. What's running toward the foxhole going to do? Nothing. To me, running for the foxhole, you just might as well put up the flag of surrender. And the Lord's even told me, even running to your foxhole and getting your Bible out and reading scriptures, that sometimes is fear, not faith. Come on. We've been religiously trained. I believe you need to be led by the Spirit in it. There's times that I'll be needing to do something, I'm not sure what to do, and the Lord will give me a scripture, and I'll say that scripture. But thinking that, if you're doing it in faith, fine. But if you're doing it in fear, it's still a reaction. We still need to be led. Or I think, well, I better get in the Word. I need to be in the Word. I'm thinking, why? I like something that Joseph Prince said. He said, you shouldn't feel guilty if you miss a day reading your Word. He said, you should be hungry. Hungry. Reading the Word is not for God's sake. It's for yours. Why do you sit down and eat a meal? You're hungry. We need to quit looking at it so religiously and so many formats and so many little rituals we do. Because this is the faith people. That's what they taught us. Well, they probably taught us right, but we thought it meant this, and so we do this, and we do our little, like Brother Cap says, praying the rosary. As faith people, we've got we start confessing. I remember one day, I'd been going through it really, really hard. It was really hard for several days. And I was just sitting there and had been in the Word for hours and hours and hours. I was so exhausted. And Danny came in there and he said, the Lord said you could be more effective if you just rest. And I thought, oh, okay. So I put my Bible down and the symptoms left and I was fine. I just thought, but here we are. All right, I got to get in my Word. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Oh. Is that how we do? Come on now. We thought that's what we were supposed to do. Now we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. A lot of times if you just rest and maybe watch a funny movie or go outside and do a little gardening, the thought leaves and there goes all of it. Resting. As if a man goes to bed and gets up, sows his seed, doesn't know how, don't care. But when the Lord says, put in the sickle, then he knows the harvest is ready. It's a rest. Faith is a rest. God did what he did and he said he rested. We're supposed to be resting with him. All right, no more running for the foxhole. It never leads to victory. What leads to victory? Stand and speak. Don't run, call it. Romans 4:17, the God who calls those things that be not as though they were. Defeat that giant, then move on to the next one. The parable of the sower. Once the seed is planted and in the ground, once you speak and it's planted in the ground, Satan, it says, comes immediately. Take the word. All right. Stop being so overwhelmed when the giant shows up. We ought to be pretty good at it by now. Here is how God would have us be. As if a man casts seed in the ground. He goes to bed, gets up. The seed works by itself. You mean it doesn't need my help? No, it's just by itself. Yep, been planting flowers and stuff. Put a seed in the ground. A few weeks, you start seeing a little blade come up, and then the little stem, and then a little flower. I didn't fret about it. It just happened, and that's the way the kingdom of God works. Action versus reaction. Either it's the house on the sand or the house on the rock. The house on the rock was the one that obeyed the word. And they had the storm come against them, but it didn't do any damage them. Didn't ruin anything. But the one that reacted in his flesh didn't do the word. It says their house was destroyed. Okay. We are graced in our place. The men in 1 Samuel 17 that ran for the foxhole were the same men who became David's mighty men. They had problems. They were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontent. We know they were discontents because there was a time that their families got all taken by a raiding party and they were going to stone David. And it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, they were all tired and some of the men went with him. Some of them stayed. Okay, they learned from David how to be giant killers. Okay, 2 Samuel. You know, really the faith message is very simple. I said, Lord, help me to be able to present it in a way that they can't miss it. And I think this morning is one of those mornings. I think it's just been laid out so simply that there's no way you could not understand it on how Satan works and how, what he does and his game. Second Samuel 23, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Josheb, Bashabeth, a to Chimonite, chief of the three, known also as Adino and Eznite. What names? He wielded his spear and went against 800 men who were slain at one time. God, 800 men slain at one time with a spear. Next him among the three mighty men were Eleazar, son of Dodo, son of Ahohi. He was with David when they defied the Philistines, assembled there for battle, and the men of Israel had departed. Eleazar rose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. The Lord wrought a great deliverance and victory that day. The men returned after him only to take the spoil. Next to Eleazar was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered at Lehi on a piece of ground full of lentils, and the Israelites fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord brought a great victory. So all the cowards run off and they hid in the foxhole, and one guy fought the whole army and won over a bean patch. And three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time to David in the cave of Adullam, and a troop of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said longingly, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem by the gate. And the three mighty men broke through the army of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem by the gate and brought it to David. But he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, to drink this. Is not the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives? So he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. Let me see how, okay, keep going. Now, Abishai, the brother of Joab, son of Zeruiah, was chief of the three. He wielded his sword against 300 men and slew them and won a name beside the three. Was he not most renowned of the three? So he was their captain. However, he did not attain to the three. And Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many notable acts, slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a handsome man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but Benaniah went down to him with a staff, snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew the man with his own spear. These are those guys like in Revelation. They didn't care about their own lives. It says they ran through the Philistines to go get him a glass of water. Didn't care about their own lives. I just wanted to do what the king wanted. Fearless. They became fearless. I want to encourage you that you are not alone. 2 Kings 8. Or 2 Kings 6. Gehazi and Elisha. This vast army was coming against them. And there they were, the two of them. And Gehazi is scared. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And he opened his eyes and said, it was the horses and chariots of the Lord, the armies of heaven, all around them. He said, there's more with us than are with them. You're becoming mighty men, and God will have you slay many giants. Rule your body. Now, this is what we were talking about, and I didn't tell you. God gave me this, I think it was Tuesday. Rule your body. Rule your circumstances. Get in position to let God tell you what he wants you to rule over. Get yourself in line. Get your body in control. Get your circumstances in control. And then he will give you orders to go out and start changing laws, changing things. Speak change. God will get you in position to let him, he will tell you what he wants you to rule over. Somewhere within the Seven Mountain Mandate. This is what I have about Fox. Speak change. New owners, people that are Christian and want God's will. And we need to do that in all seven mountains of culture, whatever the Lord speaks to us to do, the area. God has had me speaking of the nation and its leaders for a while now, several years. God places you strategically in places to speak his plans in and Satan's plans out. This is ruling and reigning. You can't have any greater battle tactic than the one that Jesus uses. We're speaking spirits. This is how God made us. This is why he placed us here. And this is what he wants us to do. He's not asking us to go beat up on people. He wants us to speak the things that Satan has done. We need to undermine what he has done. Speaking by faith. No fear, just faith. Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, tells you about all the patriarchs that did what they did by faith. Subdued mountains. Let me look over there just for, I'm not going to read all of it, but right there at the end, it kind of sums it up. All right, this is verse 32. And what shall I say further? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, closed the mouths of the lions, extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the devourings of the sword, out of frailty and weakness won strength, and became stalwart, even mighty and resistless in battle, routing alien hosts. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Others had to suffer the trial of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers. They were sawn asunder. They were slaughtered by the sword. They had to go about wrapped in skins of sheep and goats, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, roaming over the desolate places and the mountains and living in caves and caverns and holes of the earth. And all of these, though they won divine approval by their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised, because God had us in mind and had something better and greater in view for us, so that they should not come to perfection apart from us. So you can recognize that as I was reading them, different places in Scripture where they overcame, because by faith they overcame and they changed, subdued kingdoms, they changed things. Well, that is what we have to do. That's what God has put us here. And I believe that's why the Lord started changing my directions a few years back and focusing more on what's happening in the world. And you know, because that's what's happening. We need to be where it's happening. Okay. All right, Satan wants to shut you down. You shut him down. Remember the old slogan of the USPS, neither hell nor snow nor rain shall keep me from delivering the mail. I'm thinking, they kind of dropped that ball, didn't they? At least around here. We're to resist the devil, it says, and he will flee. Okay. God's grace is there to help us. All right, 2 Corinthians. We are not to be passive. We have been passive most of our Christian life, and most of the church has been. That's why we're in this mess. We can no longer be passive. We've got to wait for the orders. It's like, okay, General Sir, what's your orders for today? What do you want me to do today? The Lord will lead you. You know, we've been asking the Lord about going to see our daughter and everything and just not getting nothing. But here I go, Friday. I'm just doing some errands, and he quickens to me a certain thing that I need to do, and I go do it. I'm going, if you can tell me that, you know, it's like he's in us, leading us all the time. He's speaking to us all the time. Just little things. He's not an on and off God. He's always on. It's us that are off. We need to get on and stay on, because he's leading us all the time. And we say, well, it's so hard to hear God. No, it isn't. He's speaking all the time, telling you stuff all the time. If you can go to the grocery store and he tells you to get mustard. Yeah. He will get involved in everything that you allow him to be involved in. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as I think I mentioned, we were talking about, everyone puts Paul way up here. Well, he was way up there. He was walking. He learned to walk in resurrection power even in the body. But it wasn't just for Paul. And it wasn't put in the word just for Paul. It was put in the word for us as an example. True, there's nothing to be gained by it, but to boast, I will go into visions of the revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. And I know that this man, whether in the body or away from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise, and he heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words which man is not permitted to utter. Of this same I will boast, but of myself I will not boast, except as regards my infirmities. Should I desire to boast? I shall not be a witless braggart, for I shall be speaking the truth, but I abstain, so that no one may form a higher estimate of me than what he sees in me or hears from me. You know, Jesus was the same way. The people criticized him because he would talk about his Father. Well, who are you? You can't forgive sins. You know, just, and we're like him. We can remit sins. It says we can, or we can retain them. What Paul went through is what every believer, if they grow properly, will. And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness of these revelations, there was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to rack and buffet and harass me to keep me from being excessively exalted. Three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that he might depart from me. He said to me, my grace is enough for you. For my strength and power are made perfect and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ may rest upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he didn't just write this in here just to write about his experiences. He was admonishing people that God's grace is sufficient wherever he's placed us, wherever we are, whatever he's called on us to do. I call on his grace constantly. Okay. The people of earth are under a curse. Even with all the advancements in technologies, they are just getting sicker and more wicked. The wrong words and belief system has caused this. There is hope. Faith-filled words and belief systems can turn it around. That's what renewing the mind is. It's called the gospel. Jesus brought the good news. Well, the people that he was ministering to had been under the bad news. Satan's narrative. God wants us to do it with a godly attitude. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 4, 8. This is to be our way of looking at things. We are hedged in on every side, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, but not deserted. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the liability and exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the life of Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies. For we who live are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be evidenced through our flesh, which is liable to death. So death is actually at work in us, but life in you. So we're to be of that same spirit, that we ain't ever cast down or cast out. Lord wants us to be brave, not run for the foxhole anymore. We're getting to a place in our walk in maturity that he's not going to put up with it like he has. He's not going to allow it, you know, because you've made the choice to be here. He didn't make you. I said, I have to remind myself, Lord, I told you I want to be like you. So if I want to be like you, then I'm going to have to grow up and I'm going to have to man up and I'm going to have to act like a man. And I can't get by with the fits, and I can't get by with the running off and all that stuff anymore. I've got to stand strong. And he's given us his grace. He's given us his word to do so. Okay.